11. Where's he at? Okay. 11. Hallelujah. Let's give God a praise for that. Thank you, Lord. 12 new births. Praise his name. 11. Yeah, all right. Well, we still have today. Who still needs the Holy Ghost? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. My Lord, we could have 6. We might have 20 leave here with the Holy Ghost before the day's over. All right, let's just see what the Lord is going to do. Praise God. I'm excited for you. And I just think you've got to be one of the greatest groups of youth that has ever been in a Little Rock meeting. Of course, I tell every group that comes here that, so don't get the big head. All right, let's have church, see what the Lord will do. Let's give them a hand. They've done a good job in this meeting, haven't they? Praise God.
I thank you, Lord. I praise your name. You've helped me through so many things. I want to take the time to praise your name. You're my comforter. You're my friend. No greater love hath any man. Oh, Jesus, it's all I need. Your name. You're my comforter.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Well, isn't the Spirit been good here today? Man, I tell you, I believe today that God has richly blessed us. There's been people that, young people that's got their hearts touched that we'll never know. And I know that I got a touch. I got drunk in the Spirit. I hadn't felt that in a long time, Brother Jackson. Woo! Still feel a little of it right now.
That received the Holy Ghost here today, can they raise their hands? I know of several. I've seen it. How many of you got it today? Raise your hand up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wow. 7. Woo, that's 18, 19. Hallelujah.
Wow.
Anybody else?
Come on, we got to get even number.
I may have missed. Raise your hands again right quick. Let me count. I want 20. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. One more. Is there another one? Yeah, I got the one in the middle. The one way back in the back? Okay, yeah, right over there. 9. All right, 11 and 9 is 20. 20 people got the Holy Ghost. My Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord. The Lord. Well, I'm thankful to be here today, and I'm not going to be up but just a minute. And I so appreciate this assembly once again for hosting this great meeting. I appreciate the wonderful spirit that we've all felt here. And I was thinking, Brother Smith, I was thinking about there in Macomb, I work with my pastor, which is also my father-in-law. It's not an easy thing to do when you work under your father-in-law, because everybody else, when he tells them something, he sugarcoats it, but with me, he just tells me like it is. And so I have to take a lot of skinnings, and I deserve most of the ones I get. And the Lord called me, and the Lord has given me a gift. My father-in-law is bad about... He likes to buy tools. And in his tool shed or in his shop, he has tools that have never been opened. He has drills. If he sees a drill on sale, he'll buy it. He's got 3 that probably have never been opened. Stuff, I'll go out there and I'll say, well, you never opened. You never even use that. He said, but I know I got it. So one day I got up in church and I began to talk and I began to expound and began to give my heart. Told my father-in-law, I believe the Lord has given me a gift, but I don't want to be like that tool that's in his shop with the tag still on it. I want to be used of the Lord. And I realize that what God has given me, he gave me to work under the authority in that local assembly. I never would want to usurp authority over anything, but I want my local pastor to use the gift that God has given me. And so one weekend, Brother Smith, he reached over and he gave me a question. And I thought, Brother Weinger, I thought, well, this is it. Now's my time. I got up and I opened that question, and the question was, Hezekiah, when he put his face to the wall and began to pray, and for a sign, he wanted the Lord to let the shadow go back so many degrees on the sundial. The question was, what is a sundial? Well, I got so down. What is a sundial? I'm thinking I wanted something from Revelations or something on the devil or something on the Godhead, and I'm going to answer a question on the sundial. So I got through that. I got through. It's kind of like the, I heard a man say one time that his family was a singing group, and they knew this family. Their mother had passed away, and they wanted, their mother had requested them to sing in their funeral, her funeral. And she said, he said, "Well, what do you want me to sing?" And she said, "Well, she always told us that she wanted Jingle Bells sung at her funeral." And he said, "Jingle Bells?" She said, "That's what she wanted. And I want what she wanted." So they got up and they sung it as sad as they could make Jingle Bells sound. And after it's all over with, the woman came up to him after it was over with and said, "You know what? I was wrong. It was when they ring those golden bells." So you got to know. You got to be able to listen, don't you? How many knows that there's a principle in the Bible about buying and selling? Everybody know that? How many knows when you go to Walmart? All the young people here, you realize when you go to Walmart and you go pick up something that you got to have some funds to pay for that, don't you? You got to have some kind of way to pay for it. And there's a principle in the Bible. It's in, I believe it's in Matthew 13:44, that talks about there's a treasure that's hid in the field. And we found that treasure that's hidden in the field, and the body of Christ is the field. But before we can ever buy the field, we got to be willing to sell everything that we have. We got to be willing to sell, because without selling, we have no purchase power to buy the field. And so we have found a great treasure that's hidden in the field. And God has blessed us today. God has blessed this meeting. God has honored this assembly. I appreciate the history, this assembly, starting with Brother Tucker and Brother Weininger and Brother Smith and Brother Leninger. I appreciate the history in this assembly. I love this assembly and thankful that they were willing to get under the load. We ought to thank the Lord and give them a warm praise to the Lord and begin to say, "You know what? I'm thankful that this assembly was willing to host this meeting." But the reason I'm up, I've never been asked to receive an offering. Brother Smith asked me yesterday to receive the offering, and I need your help because I didn't do a very good job. And I know that this is a youth meeting, and I know that young people have money. I know that sometimes my kids have more money in their pocket, in their purses, than I have in my billfold. I know that kids have money. You want a game? What do? You go get it. Christmas don't mean anything anymore. Birthdays don't mean anything anymore. You want it, you go get it. Today, we need to leave a gift at this church. We didn't get enough. We need some more. We want to be able to leave a blessing to this church and not a burden, because we want them to continue to have these youth meetings. There's young people here that may not make it back to another youth meeting. Why not leave a gift at this church and let them know that we love them and we want them to continue to host these youth meetings? So as they play a song, I'm not going to ask you to stand. I learned that. Maybe Sister Becky, could you sing a song? Or someone? It doesn't matter. This is the last day of the meeting, and everybody will be headed home. So be thinking in your mind. Be letting it click in your mind, young people. Okay, I got one more meal. Got some money left over. Go ahead and get it out. Put it in an offering. Bless the Lord. I tell you what, well, let's do this. I felt this. Before we take up the offering, why don't we do this right? Why don't we pray? Pray over this offering. God, in your name, Jesus, I ask you right now, Lord. God, would you bless these young people, Lord? God, would you bless this offering, Jesus? God, would you help us, Lord? God, to give it, Lord. Give it to you, Jesus. Lord, in your name, Lord, would you bless this assembly, Lord? And God, thank you, Lord. Bless your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name. Oh, of Jesus. There's no other name I know. Oh, and there's healing in the name of Jesus. Oh, there's healing in the name of Jesus. Oh, there's healing in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, there's no other name I know. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus, bless that wonderful name of
I'm just thankful to be here today. And I'm Caleb Davis, right now from Brownsville, Texas. But I'm just thankful to be here today. And my leg's shaking, Brother Smith, and got a little sweaty down there dancing. But I just want to thank this assembly, Brother Smith, for having this youth meeting. And because we need to stand up. The young people, I feel like we need to stand up for the right thing. And I just, as we were singing that song, you know, sometimes you wish you were a Martin sometimes. You had that rhythm and that song, Sister, they sang yesterday. We're in a race that we've just got to finish. Sister Martin wrote that, Sister Merlene Martin. And we can't stop to take any breaks. I don't want to stop to take any breaks. I don't want to leave this youth meeting and just go back to sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, God forbid. Let's as that song said, Brother Patton wrote, it's time to quit your sinning. Do a little bit of repenting. Get down on your knees and pray, praise God. That's what we need to do sometimes. If my people, as Brother Carl said, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land, glory to God. We need a healing in the land today. How many believe we need a healing in the land today, glory to God? We need a healing. We need not only a healing of our natural body sometimes. Brother Weiniger needs a healing today. He's been sick and stuff, but we need a healing in our minds. Lord, touch our minds. Touch our ways, Lord God. We come down here and get prayed for and get in the prayer lines, but that may soften our clay, as Brother Gary Wright said, but that will not change your will. You have to leave here a different person. I'm going to live like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus, to shine my light until He comes. When the world looks at me, all I want them to see is only Jesus. Is only Jesus, praise God. What you see today is not what I want to be. It's not what I want to be. But you know what? It doesn't stop there, Brother Carl. It says, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. And I won't quit until the end. Hallelujah. Until I'm like Jesus, praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! There's power in the name of Jesus. If you don't believe that, just stand up here once in a while. Praise God. There's a little connection here. Phil, Brother Tucker, and Brother Lineker up here. A little power. But I'm just extremely happy. If you can't tell, I don't know what's going to wake you up. But my sister got the Holy Ghost today, Brother Smith. Hallelujah. And we didn't have to tell her she got it. She said she heard herself speak in other tongues. Praise God. I believe that today. And that you will know it. And I just, I don't want to take up too much time. Brother Dave says, and he said that when I went down to Brownsville, he told Brother Rodriguez, he said, make sure you tell Caleb that blessed is a short-winded preacher, for he shall live to preach again. So I want to be alive the next meeting. So I'm just thankful to be here today. But as has song said, the name of Jesus, there's deliverance in the name of Jesus. When you're in your trouble and your trials, just call upon the name of Jesus. Speak His name. Just His name. It'll lift you up. It'll set you up on high, praise God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous, praise God, can run into and be safe, glory to God. We can be safe today, praise God. And we don't have to just be safe here at Little Rock, but we can go back to our home, our school, our job, and be safe, praise God. We can put on the whole armor of God, praise God. Not just some of it, but take the sword of the Lord, which you can, in the shield of faith, that you can fight against the wiles of the devil. Whoever the devil may be, he's as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I said one time, it's a little wit and wisdom, Caleb Davis, you might want to take this down. But I said, you know, I want to outdo, they say the devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, going to and fro from the earth. And I said one time, I told my dad, I said, I want to outdo the devil. I want to be bold as a roaring lion, seeking such to worship God in spirit and in truth, praise God. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion, praise God. I want to be able to stand and serve the Lord with gladness and come into His presence with thanksgiving. So I'm just thankful to be here today. God bless you.
Praise God. We've had a time in God, haven't we? This has been a wonderful meeting. I thank God for everyone that's worked so hard. Put it together for Brother Smith and Brother Weininger. Give them honor today. And as it's already been said several times, we want to thank God for those who have gone before. Brother Tucker and Brother Lineker laboring here. And I remember when I was in my late teenage years coming, and we came here in a 1960 Cadillac, and I thought it was the Batmobile. It had big wings on the back of it, and when we got here, the water pump went out, and there's four of us young guys in the car. We put all of our money together, and we got enough money to pay for that $135 water pump in 1972 or 3, something like that. That meeting was at the, I think it was at, was there a meeting at the fairgrounds? And I slept in the church. I slept in a bed on the platform of the church. And those are just wonderful memories, saints. Good memories. I'm really thankful for my relationship with Brother Smith, because he was had a great relationship with Brother Lineker. And I felt upon his death that he and I would have a good working relationship, and we have. I'm glad to see Brother Cyprian here. And from the Dominican Republic, he's a wonderful brother. Appreciate Brother Cyprian, his labors there in the Dominican Republic. Saints, we are so spoiled here. We ought to be so thankful for the things that we have. We take for granted on a daily basis. Most people, the vast majority of people on this earth, don't have what we have. Just daily, in and out things that we should be thankful for. But I do have something on my heart today. I want to refer. I hope everyone got the essence of what Brother Painter said the first day. I believe he was the first one up. His message is really key to having the Spirit of Christ in you. I didn't think I'd ever see Brother Painter that humble as I saw him in this meeting. Evidently, God has really showed him a few keys to growing in God, because not everybody that has the Holy Ghost has the Spirit of Christ. We'll let that sink in a little bit. And that's what we want, as Brother Caleb just said. We want the Spirit of Christ. We're not going to have that without the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost qualifies you for that learning process. As he said, if you know, every great man you meet, every great individual you'll ever meet, they can receive, you know, honor and their praise of their position because they were able to give it at one point in their life. They learned that if you learn humility, you'll be, as he said, if you give honor, someday you'll receive honor. If you can be coached, every great athlete has to learn how to be coached. Wichita State had a kid back, oh, it was a long time ago, I can't remember the years, it was in the 80s, mid-80s. His name was Xavier McDaniel. He led the nation in college basketball. He led the nation in scoring and rebounding and in assists. And when it came time for Krzyzewski, I believe he was the Olympian basketball coach, he cut Xavier, the greatest basketball player in the nation, and for the last 25 years before that, the greatest collegiate basketball player. He cut him because of his arrogant attitude. We weren't very happy about that in Wichita. And they did lose. They didn't get the gold medal that year. I want you all to know that. At least if I remember right, I don't think they did. But he wasn't able to be coached in that setting. He came to that collegiate team thinking he knew it all, thinking that they really needed him on that team. And, of course, anybody knows the history of Krzyzewski, he didn't need anybody. He wanted somebody that was coachable. So I'll say it again, not everybody that's got the Holy Ghost has the Spirit of Christ. And that's what we're going for today. Jesus said that to be his disciple, and again, these are things we've heard. I just want to wrap up a little. This is really on my heart. If you were to be a disciple of Jesus, you had to what? Deny yourself every day and pick up your cross and follow him. Now, you've got an example of that. Man, I really enjoyed those three girls last night. The Boyd family. Double Boyd family. Boyd and a Boyd married and had three Boyds. But I really enjoyed them last night. She said she's laughed at every day. She's made fun of and criticized because of her dress. She knows about picking up her cross. And any male or female, if you want to serve God, there are just as many things God's going to ask of us males as well. We get off the hook just a little bit maybe because we didn't make the sin happen in the garden. The woman did, so she's got to suffer more. Praise God for that one. I'm popular now. Hallelujah. It's late in the day, and I'm just seeing if y'all are still awake. Help. I feel like y'all kind of left me on that one. Yeah, I felt a thud in my spirit like, you're on your own, pal. All right, get back to the subject here. What was it? But we all have to pick up our cross. We all have to take the reproach of Christ with us. Are you willing to do that? Face it, if you're really wanting to be a follower, really a person in the body of Jesus Christ, you might as well get ready. You're not going to be the most popular person there is to be in every setting. Because you're wearing Jesus. The flesh hates Jesus. Carnality hates him. Power and prestige hates Jesus. But I found out in 33 years working for a corporation, being a general manager in the state of Kansas, that you can take him, be him, and show him everywhere you go and sleep well at night under his blessings, because whoever you're working for, they really need the blessings of Christ in that organization. But man, you bet it takes a lot of wisdom to know how to do that. It really does. We don't have to be the Christian always criticizing people, you know, always talking about how all of this and that. Gossip's gossip, no matter what label you put on it. So it takes wisdom to do that. But I knew I wasn't going to be the most liked guy. They offered me four different territories in the nation. I turned them all down because I wanted to stay in Wichita. That's where I was called. Yes, I could have made more money. Yes, I could have been in the control more, of things on a daily basis. But that wasn't my goal. My goal was to be in the will of God, in the perfect will of God, as much as I could be in. And after the fourth time, they said, we're not going to offer you any more territories. This is it. And I said, oh, no, it's it. Thank God they'll leave me alone after this. And they were right. They didn't offer me any more. And I got to go on then and make my own plans. But you're going to wear Christ. You're not going to be. Lay down being popular right now. Lay down being the greatest. And let Jesus make you what he wants you to be in him. And whatever you give up in him, don't you know he's going to give it back? Didn't he say that? Whatever you give up for me in my name? Mothers, fathers, houses, lands, I'm going to give it back to you. Heaped up, pressed down, shaken together, running over in this life and the life hereafter. What did he say? Everlasting life. Isn't that worth it, saints? Isn't that worth it? So I just want to say here in closing, maybe, give myself a way out there. I don't want to say take up a lot of time, what little is left, but listen, picking up your cross, denying yourself, picking up your cross, that qualifies you for where you should be today, and that is in the yoke of Christ. Jesus said, take up my yoke and learn of me. Not head knowledge of me, but learning of me. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He said, I am meek and lowly in spirit. My goodness. There aren't very many people, those in the world. How many of them are there in the body of Christ? So I want to admonish you to get in the yoke, because there in the yoke is where you really learn of Jesus. Who was it up here saying their boss was a brilliant? Brother Painter, he said his boss was a brilliant man. I work with a man who's just brilliant. I used to. I've been in the ministry full time since 2006. But this man could skin. I could have a problem and go, because I didn't want him to solve it for me. I wanted to be the one to solve this problem. And I would look at every way I knew how to skin this cat. And I'd go to him and say, man, I got this problem I've been working on now for a month. I need your help. I can't solve it. He'd say, what is it? I'd tell him. He goes, well, have you tried this, blang, or this, blang? Three brand new fresh things right off his brain. Oh, wow. Wish I had a mind like yours. No, I haven't even thought of those things. I was really complimentary to him in that way. He had such a wide open mind. He could solve so many things. And I learned how to be wise, how to look at things a different way to solve problems by walking with him, being yoked up with him. I learned a lot of order. You know, order in the body of Christ, that's my pet peeve in the body, is people that are out of order. Brother Molno taught order. You better get in order. Brother Molno, if you're up preaching and he wanted to shut you down to teach you a lesson, he would just yawn real loud, by the way, and close his Bible. And guess what? The whole congregation, you saw all these Bibles go close. And you're going, I'm not done yet. What are you closing your Bibles for? They were taught to watch him. And if I was getting arrogant or too big for my britches, he would teach me my pants were a little too tight, and he'd go, ugh, it's time to sit down. How dare he sit me down? I'm not done yet. I learned when we had visiting ministers not to get up. I learned it the hard way. I learned to let them have. But you know, you yoke up with somebody, you can learn from them. You yoke up with Jesus, he's going to teach you the ropes. Can I use that slang saying? He's going to teach you how to get close to God, how to have the Spirit of his Father in you. Because who knows how to walk and be led by the Spirit of God? Jesus. He knows how to be led by that Spirit, and he'll teach you how to be led by that Spirit. Brother Stripe had in one of his books, he wrote a thought that I'd never thought of before. I used it the other day, but he said in one of his little pamphlets he hands out, something I read that he wrote, when Jesus was 12 years old, he was in the temple. You know, mom and dad lost him for a minute, misplaced him. Came back and got him. You know, kids at a convention, they're always running around somewhere. But they found him with the scholars, the teachers of that day, and they were in amazement at this 12-year-old kid. Is that what the Bible says? He held them in amazement. They were in awe of his teaching ability and his wisdom. Well, hadn't he arrived then? Or did he still have 18 more years before he was anointed in the ministry to be yoked up with God and learn some more things? 18 more years. 30 years old was he anointed. His ministry was anointed. And he started preaching the, praise God, the kingdom of God message. But he had 18 more years to be yoked up with God, because why? He loved God. He knew he wasn't sent here to do what he wanted to do. He was sent here to do what God wanted him to do, and he had to learn what that was. And brother and sister, if you will yoke up with Jesus and love Jesus as much now as he loved God then, you're going to have a great learning experience in your life, because you haven't arrived yet. You may have the Holy Ghost, and thank God for that. That's your beginning. That's what keeps you humble. You had to get humble to get the Holy Ghost. You had to search for it and want it more than anything else in the world. Amen? Well, that's exactly what it takes now to be taught of God. The same desire, the same yearning to fit in that yoke. He'll pull more than you're pulling. He's stronger than you are. Praise God, he'll take you. I know of young people right here that have got a big hurdle ahead of them. Oh, it's sad what's going on in life. As much as I've tried, I make people promise me, if I'm going to do your wedding, you're not going to divorce. It is not going to be an option. Well, it always is an option, I guess. Not one we should take. And I see children right now, young people, that are living in, their Holy Ghost parents have divorced, and they're living in a non-Holy Ghost environment. And I hope and pray they get the wisdom they need to make it through that situation to want and desire Jesus Christ. Because this world has nothing to offer a person who's had the Holy Ghost. If you've been in this, the world has nothing for you but heartache and confusion. From my own experience, I'll tell you, you leave this, if you've been in this and you've been tender to the Holy Ghost, you're nothing but bait for this world out here. And I'm working with two people right now who have literally, in every aspect, I can say, lost their mind. I hope God is merciful enough to bring them back, but it's going to have to be Him, because there's nothing happening up here when you talk to them about anything. Brother, the world will take your brain and lie to you and say, oh, this is what you need. And in hell, shoot this in your family. Whatever. It'll leave you a zombie. And I hope God's merciful. I hope no one else has to go through that. The only thing that'll ease your pain, if you feel pain in this world, is getting on your knees and staying there until you get the victory. Amen. Jesus loves you. Thank God the Holy Ghost will ease the pain. You don't have to seek for anything else. You've got what it takes. Praise God. Let me read a few scriptures here before I sit down. Let's go to, praise God. Jesus said, and you don't have to go over to it, but if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus was yoked to God because he loved him. Brother and sister, it's an act of charity. Now, you know, we've all been taught charity, haven't we? We've all memorized it and got up in our youth groups and quoted it together, quoted it individually. But an act of charity is living for God because you love him. Not what you're going to get, what you're going to receive, but because you love me. If you love me, keep my commandments. Of course, that was a prerequisite to receiving the Holy Ghost. Then he went on in the 10th chapter of John, 17th verse. Therefore doth my Father love me. Why? Because I lay down my life, and that I might take it up again. And you know the scriptures that Paul wrote. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 13:4. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. Not weakness is in not being able to get something done, but just in your weakness as a carnal human being. Your weakness will be made known to you through the trials and tests of life. But thank God, when you're being weak, he'll be strong. When you want what he wants, you're being strong. Amen. You stay yoked up to him and you'll get stronger. And he said here in 2 Corinthians 13, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Ephesians 3:16-19, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And as it was mentioned here again, I hope you got it, that word, that Hebrew word, really denotes trust. Trust. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what's the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be fulfilled with all the fullness of God. And that's how the yoke of charity works. Amen. Through being yoked to Jesus, we become to know, and only being yoked to the Lord will we know the height, the breadth, the width, the length, the depth of God's love. You can read all you want to read, study all you want to study, that's wonderful. But when you are actually in that yoke and learning of him, That's the only way we're going to understand Christ's love for us. Think about it. Someone that would go and die for us. You know, Paul, he didn't even get it. You know, prevent someone would die for someone they love, but while we were yet sinners, Jesus loved us and gave his life for us while we were yet going our own way, turning away from him, yet he reached out to us and loved us. How do you understand that? Saints, it's very important that you young people know how to get strong in God. Have the Spirit of Christ, not just the Holy Ghost, but the Spirit of Christ. Because you are the church of today. Let me tell you, these men up here, I lean on them. I am trusting in you. Of course, Brother Millsap, he's already an elder, which is a pastor. Chad, I believe in you, man. Do I believe in you? I've got all my eggs in your basket, son. You too. You young people out there, all my eggs are in your basket. I've laid down my life for you. I have nothing else that I can do. I don't know what else to do. And I hope you know what yoking up really means. I hope you can. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we really did understand him someday, his love for us? How to overcome this thing that's continually knocking on our door, continually telling us to go this way, go that way. Man, I am so excited for what I've experienced. If Brother Painter can learn to quit being so arrogant and haughty and see the young man that I saw 2 days ago, anybody can. I say that with jest. But I say it with sincerity. God's touched him. I was about 40 years old when God started dealing with me on there's something I'm not getting. There's something I'm not understanding. And he gave me a dream of cats. I'll say this in closing. I know that's going to have your attention. When the preacher says in closing, he's got everybody's attention. And the Lord didn't lead. And he said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll give it. Whatever you ask, I will do it. And that's not the Cadillacs and the houses. He doesn't care about that, but he will give it to you. I got a house so big now, my wife isn't strong enough to get it clean. I got to hire people to clean. He'll give you houses, but who cares? I want to know him. Be like him. I had a dream one night that the church was full of cats. There was cats in every pew, cats walking on the banister rails, and the cats in the lights. And I've always been a cat lover. My sister was a dog lover. I love cats. But after this dream, I don't like cats. I haven't liked one since this dream. I'm a dog lover now. Got wise. Got saved. Because I identified with the old tomcat. Come in all beat up and bloody. But I had a tomcat that would fight any and everything. Catch birds out of the midair and flight. And he only had 3 legs. One leg was stiff. It grew in the socket wrong. Got ran over by a car, but he was so mean, he lived through it. I heard the strangest noise I ever heard in my life one day, and I went in the backyard. Here came a German Shepherd with my cat hanging on his face. He sounded like a grizzly bear. There's cats everywhere, and I got up preaching, and the Lord told me, I'm going to come back in 1 week. In 1 week, you've got to make all these cats sheep, or you don't get to go. 1 week, we're going to heaven. So I called church every night for that week. You think you don't? We have a long schedule now, saints. Before it's over, we're going to be going to church every night. So I called service every night, and I was preaching, and I was preaching Jesus. And Monday night, a few less cats, a few more sheep showing up. And Tuesday, Wednesday, man, Thursday, we're about half cat and half sheep. I kept looking down at my feet and seeing my slacks and my shoes. And I'm going, Lord, I'm still a man. When am I going to change into a sheep? When do I get to go? I want to go. He said, if there's one cat left, you don't get to go. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, man, I'm preaching. Well, that's down to Saturday night now. And I go into church and it's all sheep. But one cat on this side of the sanctuary sitting over here in the congregation.
I looked down. I said, man, I know I'm a sheep now. I looked down at my hooves and my woolly legs and their shoes and my slacks. I said, Lord, when am I going to get to go? When am I changing? He said, how you handle this last sheep depends on you if you get to go to heaven or not. And I remember that dream, stepping off the platform, walking up to that sheep, thinking, I'm going to sell this cat on becoming a sheep. And I'm thinking, have you ever considered all the benefits of being a sheep? And I thought, no, don't sell it. Selling is kind of carnal in this situation. Why don't you just do what you were taught and just beat the thing over the head, you know, be strict and say, come on, you don't want to be the only cat left, do you? I thought, no, I don't want to do that. That's kind of mean. In that dream, I just picked up that cat and started stroking it and loving it. That's when I woke up. Love's the only thing that will awaken the human heart, isn't it? Love is the only thing that'll change us. Nothing else will. We all have been grabbed by the love of God, brought in. I wasn't looking for the Lord. I was having a good time out in the world. I was not. He reached out and got me. One night at a party, drunken party, he told me in an audible voice, scared me to death. I had a full head of hair until he spoke to me. And it fell out, and I've been this way ever since. He just quietly, real simply said, you don't belong here anymore. I'm glad I knew where to go. I'm glad my folks led me to a place where I could find out where I belong. Hasn't been a bed of roses, but thank God I've learned more of him. Yoke up with him, brother and sister. Let's build this body, thank God. When we love each other the way he wants us to love each other, and only he can teach us that. Only he can teach us the love of God. We'll be where we need to be, and then he will set his head of authority on that group of people. I believe that. God bless you.
Wichita group come up. Brother Green is talking about love. You know, when somebody loves you like Jesus loves you, that's somebody that you can trust, right? You can trust him with your life. You can't just trust anybody with that. That's a precious gift, life is. But the Lord loves you that much that he gave his life for us, as the scripture says, while we were yet sinners. When we were those that turned our back on him, rejected him, yet he still loved us. This morning we're going to sing a song. This afternoon, I guess now, we're going to sing a song, I Can Trust Jesus.
If he's mine. For I am
I hate this part. In fact, you can, all you young people can go home and tell your pastors that Brother Smith said that he wished that we was all part of the Little Rock Church if we didn't have all the problems we have. But since you've got all them problems, I want you to go back home to the man of God that he put over your life to help you solve them. When you get them solved, come back. Oh, what a God. What a great body of Christ we're in. Here's a lost and found. That might even fit me. I'm not sure. Anyway, somebody want to claim it? Well, here it is. Got just a real quick recap for you. By the way, I'm sorry we didn't announce it. Maybe some of you have talked to Brother Painter. There are DVDs of this meeting. They're $20 a set. See Brother Painter up in the media booth if you want to order a set, or he may have some sets ready. He does. If you'd like to get a set before you leave, there. To me, there was not only some just wonderful, wonderful moves of the Spirit in this meeting, but there were some good words. There were some good talks. And I just thought I'd just kind of recap them for you. If you want to serve God, you want to be used of God, just live for Him every day. He'll do the rest. You'll find yourself doing what He's called you to do. And we all know that humility, Brother Painter's talk was a great talk, I thought. Humility, you have to humble yourself enough to receive from those that are over you in the Lord and your elders in the Lord. Humble down and receive what they've received. They couldn't give it to you if they didn't have it. Learn from that so you can give and be used of God. Brother Martin said, you're the church of today, not tomorrow. You are the church. Don't put it off. Brother Dominique, he blessed me. You have, there he is back there. Here's what, you know what he told y'all? You have what others need. You have what other people are looking for. Don't be ashamed of it, but be bold enough to give it out. I'm telling you, there's a sick world out here, and they need what you have. Get bold about telling them about it. Brother Chuck Millsap said, I want to scare you. He basically said, you don't know when your time is. You don't know when the Lord's going to take you. Serve Him while it's today, while it's called today. Give yourself to God today. Get serious. Be sober. Brother Caleb said, stay in a repentant condition. Heal the land. Did you know that? Did you know that you can be something? You can be an instrument that God uses to heal the condition of this world. It's going to be healed, saints. This whole world's going to turn to him. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. Well, and then your last message, Brother Green. Love the cats so you can be a sheep. Then I want to tell you this. We received, now Brother Kevin, he redeemed himself today. That's what I like. I like people that when they fall down, they get up and try again. He got enough money yesterday to almost pay for the food. Today, he got enough money to pretty well take care of the meeting cost added to what he got yesterday. And he's right about you young people. Brother Kevin, we may let you do it again. The young people do have money. When he said that, I thought, I don't know if they really got that much money or not. We got in today in assembly checks and personal checks, $645. In cash, we got $2,046.69. You young people do have money, don't you? Wow. Thank you so much. You pulled us out. You got us over the top. All right, the usher just told me that the kitchen needs about 10 more minutes or so. My daughter-in-law, where's Cindy at? Cindy, come back up here. Hurry. By the way, I want my wife to stand up. Stand up, Sister Smith. That little blonde-headed lady over there outside of Jesus Christ is the best thing that ever happened in my life. She's my rock. I love her so much. Is Cindy coming? She surely can hear me. Somebody holler down the stairs. Somebody tell me if she hears me. Get on the phone, call the kitchen. See if Cindy knows to come up here. Please. I feel like this song needs to be out in the whole body. Let's sing it with her. They'll put it up, I'm sure.
Every situation, he holds my hand and leads the way that's best for me. And now I know I cannot waver when he is by my side. Yes, he's my Savior. Just trust in me and you will